Amen. Good evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, and really the privilege that we have of being here in your house today on a Thursday evening, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all those who came here today who are here to worship you, Lord, and to hear about mission work. And thank you, Lord, for the love that this church has for missions and for what they're doing to further your gospel, Lord. Thank you so much. Once again, help us, Lord, as we sing and worship you today, that we may do it all for your honor and glory, Lord. Help the preacher, fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and all that we do today, Lord, may it be done for you. Thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity of being here in this church this week and this missions conference. Bless it, Lord, today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
545. Bring them in. Bring them in. 545.
Jesus, shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep of God astray, not from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin.
On the second verse, you notice what it said there? Who'll go and help the shepherd kind? Who'll go help? You will. No, me. It's personal. We can't pass it on to other people. And I've been challenged this missions conference is I have to go. I have to take it personally. I have to take the Great Commission personally. Let's take the third verse now.
Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains wild and high, hark, 'tis the Savior speaks to thee. Go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wants to Jesus.
I would like to start by saying thank you. Thank you for your support. We do not take it lightly. The camper fees cover about 78%, 79% of our operating expense. So we are very thankful for your support. But let me tell you something that even goes beyond that. I have been super encouraged. Person after person came to me and said, praise the Lord on the hearing that you had on Monday. Well, that didn't just happen, and people were praying about that, and I would like to say thank you for your prayer support. Now, I am not minimizing your financial support, because we need that and we appreciate that. But do you realize that your prayer support could have covered 100 years of your financial support? And that's very realistic with what we would have had to do. And thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayer support, for your moral support. It has just been a blessing. This is just for fun. We sent out the beginning of the month. We often send out, well, not during the summer, but we try the first of the month, try to send out a prayer and update letter. And this one had some pictures on it, some pictures of me with my arm around a guy or whatever. And one of her supporting churches sent an email back. He said, could you print that off and send it to the church? He said, it costs a lot of money for us to print something in color. My first reaction, Brother Boyer, was not very good. I was just going to delete and ignore him. But then I got the victory, and I printed it off, put my, how much are stamps now? I don't know, they're forever, but they cost a lot. They cost a lot of money. I put this stamp on and I send it off. I don't feel that way here at this church, and I appreciate your support. Let me say something else. This morning I was praying. You have been an encouragement to me. How can I be of an encouragement to you? And I'm not sure. I would like you to leave. I would like to encourage you. My schedule here is flexible. If you say, man, I would just like to talk. I don't know much, but I do have this book. Now, if you want somebody smart, talk to Pastor Kumar back there. I mean, he's smart. But if you want somebody that, you know, is just dumb and down to earth, I would love to chat with you. Maybe it's about some issue that you're having. Maybe it's just you just want to chat. I don't know what it is. But I would like to be an encouragement to you as we leave here on Sunday afternoon. We're going to show a video, then we'll talk a little bit about it.
Nestled in the gently rolling mountains of central Pennsylvania is a special place where the distractions of the world fade away and God's still small voice can be heard. This is Servant's Heart Camp, where great fun and a strong focus on the preaching of God's Word combine to challenge hearts and change lives for the glory of God. When a camper comes to Servant's Heart Camp, they are going to have fun. A wide variety of outstanding and exciting activities are sure to provide the perfect setting for an exceptional time of unforgettable fun. Whether it's the team games, mealtime events, nighttime activities, or the craziness of water days, campers are sure to have the time of their life. During afternoon free time, campers can experience a variety of diverse and unique events, such as a thrilling ride on the zip line, shooting blamzukas, hitting balls at the batting cage, or a cool dip in the lake. Between all those fun activities, campers can stop by the Bear Den for a refreshing milkshake. While fun is a valuable part of the camping experience, the true desire of camp is to see hearts and lives changed through the power of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit, and for every camper to deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ. Each day, campers will be immersed in the Word of God and be encouraged to grow spiritually in their walk with God. From personal devotions to start the day to cabin devotions at the end of the day, the camp schedule is designed to constantly bring each camper's attention back to God. Practical Christian Living is a time for the evangelist to bring a practical message on how to be victorious in the Christian life. Director's Hour is an opportunity to learn biblical truth from a practical object lesson. Scripture Memory Time encourages campers to hide God's Word in their own heart. Counselors will also spend one-on-one time with each camper throughout the week to give them personalized counsel from God's Word to deal with the unique challenges that they face. The highlight of every day at camp is the evening rally, where Christ-honoring music sets the tone for the strong and convicting preaching of God's Word. Campers are given an invitation to respond to the preaching and receive help from a counselor to make spiritual decisions.
So, back before the summer began, I wasn't following God and obeying Him like I should have been. I was actually struggling with the thought of suicide. But praise God, He touched my life through the ministry of this camp. He pulled me out of a really dark and lonely place. And now, like Psalm 23 says, my cup runneth over.
I made many life-changing decisions at camp, but in 2012, when I was 16, I surrendered my life to the Lord. Though I grew up as a pastor's daughter, my walk with God didn't become real until that summer. Because of that summer, I am now joyfully serving the Lord with my husband.
When I was 12, I came to camp for the first time and received Christ as my Savior. Over my teen years, I came back and made life-changing decisions about my walk with God, and it has transformed my life.
I came to camp this summer struggling. All through the week, I knew God wanted me to get things right, but I was stubborn. My one-on-one time encouraged me to get right with God, and that evening during the rally, I realized I needed to fully surrender my life. That night, God changed me, and I surrendered my life to Christ for His use.
As a teenager, I attended Servant's Heart and later worked as a summer staff member. God used my time there to develop my heart for service to Him, and now I am currently serving as an assistant pastor. I couldn't be more grateful for the impact of Servant's Heart in my life.
While youth camps may be its backbone, Servant's Heart Camp provides other great opportunities for fun, fellowship, and spiritual growth for all ages throughout the year. Events such as family camps, father-son retreats, men's retreats, ladies' retreats, work retreats, and our Young at Heart event are all designed to help Christians, young and old, to draw closer to Christ. With so many opportunities available, why not make plans to come and experience camp for yourself? If you do, you'll understand why we say, to God be the glory, great things He is doing at Servant's Heart Camp.
Well, you heard a number of testimonies on there that meant very little to you. I could go through every one of those. Are we getting lights back on, or do I have to be up here in the dark? Oh, good. I could go through every one of those. In fact, I don't know which one to talk about. The kid that said he was struggling with the thought of suicide, and he said, he brought me out of a dark and lowly place, and my cup runneth over. He is a freshman in college, studying, preparing for the ministry, and it is just so exciting. The young lady that said, when I was 16, I got right with God. I remember of her mother coming to me and said, something happened. Whoops, I almost told her name. Something has happened to this girl when she came home from camp. She is a different girl. And it's one thing to hear them say, oh, I got things right with God. But it is super exciting when I hear a parent say they came home as a different person. Another one that is just super exciting. All he said is, I came to camp for the first time when I was 12. Well, that kid comes from a family. His dad is a 60s biker with a beard down to here. And he is a biker. And he came to camp and he said, I know I got saved that year. He said, the night I got saved, the next night, he said, I started taking notes. He said, I never took notes before, but I started taking notes. He went back to his public school, back to his home life, and he would take a nosedive. He would come to camp the next year, and he was just so sensitive to the Spirit of God. And finally, he graduated from high school, got a full-time job, Well, that last year, he came back after he had graduated, and I had a chance to counsel him. And I said, are you going to church? He said, no. I said, how do you expect to be faithful when you're not going to church? So I went to my computer, looked the church up that I thought would be good for him. I told him the next time I saw him, he said, that's 15 minutes away from my home. He said, that's far. I remember of telling my wife, this kid is never going to make it if he's not willing to travel 15 minutes to church. A few months later, we were at a wedding. One of our previous staffers was married at that church. And the youth leader came up and said, guess who's coming to church? He said, Dalton. It's Dalton. You know Dalton. Some of you know Dalton. And they said, guess who's coming to church? Dalton's been coming to church. He's dragging his family along to church. He's being baptized here, and I forget when it was. He was going to be baptized. So then he contacts me. He said, Mr. Fry, he said, I'd like to come be a counselor. Oh, great. I said, Dalton, I really appreciate that you want to be a counselor, but I'm just not quite sure you're ready. I said, would you consider serving on the operational staff? You know what his question was? Would I get to hear the preaching? I said, Dalton, you'll get to hear the preaching. He came that summer, and a couple of the staffers took him under his wings. He went up in the basement of Cabin 6, and he said, well, what's your music like? The guy that was kind of discipling a little bit, he said, what's your music? Oh, no, he said, I only listen to Christian music. Well, he said, let's see. So he pulled out his phone, and it was Wicked. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't know. He said, I want to do what God wants me to do. But he said, I didn't know that music wasn't pleasing to the Lord. He deleted about 85% of his music off his phone that weekend. Another guy took him under his wings. The next year, he contacted me again. He said, Mr. Fry, do you think I'm ready to be a counselor yet? He said, if you think just op staff, he said, it's okay. He said, I'll just serve on op staff. I didn't give him an answer for a long time. And somebody sent me a text that he had sent him. He was cleaning out his room. He said, in a quest for zero tolerance for sin, I can't remember exactly his words. He said, I'm getting this stuff out of my bedroom. It's some stuff that some good Christian kids wouldn't be offended by having in their bedroom. We ended up taking him as a counselor that year. That was the year the Lord called him to preach. And he also went off to Bible college. He wanted to come to camp this summer. But his dad thinks it is the dumbest thing in the world that you would go to the college to study the Bible to preach. And his dad was, in fact, it was pretty tense at home. So he stayed at home this summer to spend time with his dad. And his dad said, you're not going for more than 1 year, are you? He said, well, I don't know what the Lord has for me. So as you think of it, pray for Dalton. Dalton, I'll tell you what. If somebody counsels, Dalton has more verses memorized, and this just happened in the last couple of years. I mean, he's just studying his Bible all the time and believes the Lord has called him into evangelism, and he will do well as an evangelist. So that's it for that. Let me tell you a quick story about this summer's camp. This summer camp, I had Teen Camp 4 with my most difficult week of the summer. One girl, Cal, called me over and said, can you talk to these campers? They want to go home. These are teenagers. They want to go home. And so I went over and talked to them. And I don't have time to tell you all I talked to them. But I just saw those girls the other night. And the girl looked at me and said, how soon can we sign up till next year? How soon can we sign up next year? But that particular week, I meet with the counseling staff twice a day. I meet with them in the morning. I meet with them in the afternoon, in the evening before the evening rally. They said there's just about ready to be a fight. They said, fists are going to be flying soon. They said, they are just at each other. They said, it's just a matter of time till the fists are flying. Well, who are they? Well, the one kid I knew, he's the son of a rough, tough coal miner from Western Pennsylvania. So I knew him. So he actually came into chapel. He was one of the first ones that came into chapel that night. The guys have to sit in the front rows. The girls sit in the back rows. He sat in the very front row. I went over to him and said, Will, I said, I know you could probably knock this other kid flat. But I said, don't do it. I said, if he takes a swing at you, you back off. I said, I don't want to send both of you home. At that point in my very spiritual condition, I didn't care about the other kid. But I just didn't want issues. I said, you back off. I don't know if I got through to him or not, but after the service, I went and found Cody. I put my arm around Cody. I said, Cody, you want to talk? Sure. But it was skit time coming up, so he didn't want to talk then. So we picked a time the following afternoon, and we sat down. And I said, Cody, tell me about yourself. Well, he said, when I was 4, I went to this children's home. They took me from that children's home, put me in this children's home. He said, then I went to a foster home. And he said, my foster dad pushed me through the window. He said, that's this scar right here. Then apparently Child Protective Services came in. And I said, Cody, I can't believe it. I said, I've never experienced anything like this. My heart just went out to Cody. And then he said, I just got out of the detention center in May. This was July. He said, I just got out of the detention center in May. He said, if you wonder the way I am, he said, if I didn't fight, I wouldn't have lasted in the detention center. That's what he thought. He said, I was in there with druggies. I was in there with gun violations. I was in there with all sorts of people. Well, the Lord got a hold of his heart, and when his church heard that he responded to God's simple plan of salvation, they were ecstatic. About 4 weeks after that camp, I ran into his pastor. And I know that you think that everybody that comes home from camp is just faithful, I was almost with a little fear and trepidation. I said, Pastor, how is Cody doing? He said, unbelievable. He said, apparently he got it from the time he left camp on Saturday till he went to church Sunday, he had a haircut. He would normally come and at the last minute slouch down. He now has another foster family, slouch down in the pew beside his foster family, get up and leave as soon as the service was over. The pastor said he came in and started shaking hands with people. How you doing this morning? And that particular church, their teens sit on the very front row. That morning he went and sat on the very front row. He said he joined the choir. He said he's being baptized. This was a Friday. He said he's being baptized on Sunday night. I said, I'll be there. And what a joy. The pastor said, I don't remember in my 45 years of ministry a young man that had such a turnaround. I could tell you more about Cody, but I don't have time. But we do not, and by the way, don't think that it was any great counseling. In fact, if you'd have heard my counseling with Cody, you said, that adult, I think I'm an adult now, that adult isn't fit to counsel, because I didn't know where to go with him. And I have just been reminded, I need to be faithful and allow God to do his work. We don't have a corner in God, but camp is certainly a place where God can get a hold of hearts. And I could tell you some other stories, but you have been praying about the variants, and thank you for praying for that. That variance was passed. That gives us the go-ahead. We're able to go ahead. We have a plan. We have about $850,000 now, which I used to think was a lot of money. It's not. We have about another $50,000 pledged. At this point, we're planning, hoping to start building in March or April in the spring. We think we have just about enough money, or at least by that time, we will have enough money to put the building under roof. We were encouraged, even though we don't have enough money to finish the building, that people get excited when they see something happening. So rather than leaving our money depreciate and costs go up high, we plan to put it under roof. We're hoping that we might even be able to get out of the shed and have our chapel in the lower level of the lodge. We're not sure if the building inspector will allow us to do that or not. But you pray for us. We just met on Monday afternoon, met with the architect, and he started asking about sound system. Well, wait, we want sound up here, and we want to make announcements from the kitchen, and we want to make announcements from the office, and all of a sudden we're realizing there's lots and lots of things that we need to be thinking about. And you pray for us that we would have wisdom. It's lots of things at camp are beyond me, but we serve a great God. And once again, thank you for your support. And what I said earlier, if I can be of encouragement, I don't know how. If you want to talk, I'd love to talk to you. I've got a book, and it's a pretty amazing with all sorts of answers. Thank you. You have been a blessing to us. If one suggestion for Missions Conference, if we could just have a little bit more food. That would be appreciated. I'm kidding.
Now, back earlier in August, I went to Servant's Heart for Missions Critical, and I believe I met and got to know Dalton, right? He was one of the squad leaders, yes. So, and what stood out to me about Dalton is that he had a very clear love for the gospel and a very clear burden to evangelize the lost, and that's what I remembered about Dalton. But very good. But I didn't know all that, the background to that story. I'm glad I got to hear it. 543, if you can stand with me. Very short song. 543, A Passion for Souls. Was that your first time singing that? Oh, wow, a whole lot. Let's sing that a second time.
Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning.
Aren't you glad for God's mercy? Amen. Brother Fry, I want to come to camp. I do. Amen. The mercies of God. The mercies of God, what a theme for my song. Oh, I never could number them o'er. They're more than the stars in the heavenly dome, or the sands of the wave-beaten shore. For mercy so great, what return can I make? For mercy so constant and sure, I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. They greet me at morn when I waken from sleep, and they gladden my heart at the noon. They follow me on into shades of the night, when the day with its labor is done. His angels of mercy encompass me round, wheresoever my pathway may lead. Each turn of the road some new token reveals, that his mercy endureth for aye. For mercy so great, what return can I make? For mercy so constant and sure, I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. (Clears throat) His goodness and mercy will follow me still, even on to the end of the way. I have His sure promise, and that cannot fail, that His mercy endureth forever. For mercy so great, what return can I make? For mercy so constant and sure, I'll love Him, I'll serve Him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. I'll love Him, I'll serve Him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure.
I'm so thankful that God has given this wonderful opportunity for me. And thank you for having me included to your mission conference, even though it's a busy schedule. I'm so thankful for this church and for your valuable prayers and support for the ministry for the last many years, and nearly 100 years, brother. And I'm so thankful for that. And continue to pray for us that the Lord may help us to do His will, His desire in and through the ministry so that His name may be glorified. I'm so thankful for your hospitality, wonderful, more than enough food, and thank you so much today. I'm so thankful that the God has given this opportunity to bring God's word. I was thinking that because we have a lot of preachers here and preaching God's word, so I don't have today 3 points and a 2 poem. They are 4 points and no poem. So they'll be able to. So you have to listen carefully, then you'll be able to understand. My accent is different. People say I got an accent, but I don't think so, I have an accent. And you have to listen carefully so that you'll be able to understand what I'm speaking. Well, you know why? Because when you get into heaven, you're going to speak my way. All right? Wonderful. I'd like to read a couple of verses from God's word. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. To 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. May the Lord add more blessings. I'd like to speak today that God has given every one of us a ministry. Sometimes we think ministry is only for missionaries and pastors and deacons, but everyone, those who are saved, God entrusted with the ministry. We are all involved in that ministry. What a wonderful way the Lord does that. First of all, He just take a sinner and He make a new creation. That's my first point, new creation, see? Sin marred the life of people. Sin so much marred people, Satan ruined the life, and just sin encroached each and every areas of our human beings. But thank God, when the Almighty God through Jesus Christ, when He saves you, not only forgive your sins, not only just given a home in heaven, but thank God, what are the damnation which the devil and sin brought each and every individual's life, God began to just change inside out. He began to make it a new creation. that's happened in the Christianity, in the relationship with Christ. All other religion under heaven, they work from external to internal. But Christianity, the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you put your trust in him, you start working from inside, out, making a new creation. No matter how deeply the sin might have damaged each and every life, maybe the character, maybe attitude, every areas of life, but there is a hope. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he can just change your life. Change come when Jesus Christ come to your life. Many times, many other religion of this world, even in fact, no religion can promise that. Only that can be done in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to your life. Thank God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Even Godhead lives in you. And the Holy Spirit had a task to work in your life through the word of God and circumstance. The good work which God has started in each and every believers, God began to work in such a way to conform you to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderfully that happened when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am from a different background, but thing is that only Christianity can do that work. No matter how deeply, which means there is hope to the lost world. There is a loss for any ruined person in sin. God can change life. Sometimes if people, today's philosophy and things all blame the background, upbringing, all those kind of things. Let me tell you that sin can ruin people and even devil can ruin people. They can just make your life so miserable, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. There will be a bright future when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a man who is singing in the miry clay of sin, is deeply and going down. God in his mighty mercy through Jesus Christ, he picked you and me from the miry clay, set your feet on the rock, which is Jesus Christ himself. He washed you and me with his precious blood. Thank God he established our going and given a new song in our life. And thank God the people be able to see there's a change happen in your life. The whole world need that. There is a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, more than that, the word of God says there is not only a new creation, there is a new relationship. The word, verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus. Make that phrase, by Jesus. Reconciliation for the lost world to the living God, it's only through Jesus Christ. No religion, not religion, not ritualism, not any kind of practice. Reconciliation back to God only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people in the world see Calvary is a weak place. It's not so. Calvary is the greatest wisdom of God which manifested for the redemption of people who have been lost in sin. My Savior, God in his mighty mercy, the eternal Godhead, their counsel, they looked down from heaven to seek a righteous person. What the Bible says, found none. There is no righteous, no, not one. God looked for a person who can stand in the middle. He found none. The eternal Godhead of God had a plan. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, God manifested in the flesh. We call him Jesus. And he's the only one can just bring the lost men and women back to God through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. The Bible here says, verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus. Think about our eternal God, the love of God. As we just heard this great hymn, you know, the love of him. God in his mighty mercy loved you and me, the whole world. He manifested in the flesh, born as a human. Think about our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, born as an infant. Look at him growing to be a young child. From there, look at him in a teenage, growing up as a 30-year-old. and he's come to be baptized with John the Baptist. Even John the Baptist, before he recognized Jesus Christ the Messiah, he told him that, I need to be baptized by you. That indicates the perfect life he just lived in this world. I often think about my Jesus Christ. As he lived in this world, he lived every day with a conscience of that he is going to reconcile the lost world to the Father in heaven. So he lived very carefully for you and me. One single mistake or failure could disqualify him to be my personal Savior or reconciler. That's important. He's the only God-given reconciler to the lost world. He lived a perfect life. One single mistake would disqualify him to be my reconciler. My Jesus lived in this world for you and me. Wonderfully, graciously. And finally, look at my Savior enter into the public ministry. 3.5 years he just worked. He came to his own received him not. Rejected him, questioned him. And people were challenging him. And every time they questioned him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, but he went everywhere doing good. He showed all the great miracles and everything. Look at the Savior. People tried to provoke him, make him mock to him, and just all kind of mischief to him. But still he knew that one aim, that going to that cross, to dying on the cross of Calvary for my sin and your sin, the sin of this world. Look at him as the previous night he was praying on the Gethsemane. And you can see that he was praying so hard. You can understand he's just a sweat, just rolling down and falling to the earth with blood. And he was so much praying and said, Father, if that possible, let this cup pass away from me. But not my will. Look, see, that's a great thing. God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was not afraid of crucifixion. He knew that. It would be so cruel. No, I will be showing mercy to my Savior. The very hand helped the people. And he looked at the crowd, every man was just saying, crucify him. And they crucified him. Defamed him so much so that. Challenged him in that agony of his death. If you are the Christ, come, or from the cross. No, I have mercy upon him. Challenged him constantly and continually. But more than that happened on that cross. I cannot understand the fathom of God's love for the lost world, for you and me. What happened on that cross, more than that cruel crucifixion and pain of his physical pain, emotional pain, rejection of the people, everything. He needed to have more strength to stay on the cross than coming out from the cross. My Savior loved you because to save you, he stayed there. More than that, what happened there on the cross of Calvary, the Holy God, the thrice Holy God, when he became a man and he just took your sin and my sin. Verse 21 says that the Lord himself, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus became sin for me to save you and me. That we might be able to just clothe with his righteousness. What a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Gracious God, such a love where we can find. God took my sin and your sin. That's the reason Jesus Christ is the only Savior. That's the reason Jesus Christ is the only reconciler for a lost man to back to the living God. That's the reason we need to proclaim this gospel to the whole world. Because this is the only way that people can come to know Christ. No matter people may have religion, ritualism, all other kind of things in this world, but none of them are qualified reconciler back to the living God to bring a lost man and woman. That's so vital and important. We are preaching a Christ who can bring a lost man and woman, no matter how deeply they have gone, he can bring back to the living God, because he is the qualified, gracious, loving reconciler for the lost world. Thank God that God saved you and me. The word of God says, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Every born again child of God been given a ministry of reconciliation. That is the wisdom of God. The Satan might have ruined the people with sin. The sin might have so ruined them. But God's mighty wisdom and his power, he stooped down and took a sinner, washed him, made him a new creation in him. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God began to work in his life to conform to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he just brought him to God. Today we were so far, the Bible says in Ephesians and Colossians, and even the Romans say that we were enemies of God. We are separated from God. We were alienated from God's people. There is no way in which that we have access to the commonwealth of Israel. But thank God, by the mercies and the reconciled work of Jesus Christ, brought us back to him, and we are the apple of his own eyes today. We are accepted in his beloved. What a wonderful ways. We are so far. Today we can call him Abba, Father, because we've been reconciled back to God. What a wonderful, privileged people we are here today. And God, that's God. Not only saved you, make a new creation, and he just brought back to him and given a ministry of reconciliation. Each and every one of us been given a ministry of reconciliation. As I'm standing over here, I'm a product of a mission. Years back, when a pastor came, he was preaching through and came to our college. I dropped him to the airport, and the way I talked to him, Dr. So-and-so, how did you come to know Christ? And he explained his salvation. I always excited to hear how people come to know Christ, because that's an excitement. People often ask that, you are so excited. I'm excited from the last 52 years. When the excitement dies, I'm gone. Yeah, because this great salvation, wonderful salvation, which I cannot buy it and earn it, is only through Jesus Christ. He loved me so much. What happened over here? And he said, how did you come to know? Because you are a Hindu that I know by. I said, I came to know through a medical missionary. And he asked me, what is his name? I said, Dr. Quinton Kanoyer. Oh, I saw the tears flowing from his eyes. I said, did I say something wrong, brother? He said, no. See, when I was a young man, this missionary doctor came to our church. Our church was a small church. Now what happened, we could not do much, but we started helping very little money. And we did help him continuously, faithfully. Look at what. He has gone to be with the Lord today. What a great ministry what God has done. Wonderfully, graciously, because God has given a ministry of this. Missionary came all the way from America, shared the gospel. He knew I'm dying with TB. Gave the shots. That's the time streptomycin, the antibiotic, came to treat the TB patients. I took 480. None of them did any good for me. I could have died. But this doctor knew there's a lost soul being given the gospel and continually prayed. His wife later told me that not a single day he left is empty without praying for your salvation. He prayed for me. Who am I that this doctor from America just praying for a lost Hindu dying with TB, an army man, because he knew that that's the only possible way. Even if I die with TB, I can go to heaven by accepting him. God has given a ministry for each and every one of us. Are we involved in that ministry? I'm glad that this mission conference, even Thursday, you are here because you have passion for souls. You are praying. Wonderful. But you don't have to go to foreign land even to find a soul. There are souls, even sometimes in your family. There are souls in your friend circle, in family circle around you. I like that parables in Luke chapter 15. The word of God says, there's a lost sheep. The shepherd has to go. finding out, fetching, and going, and finding out that lost sheep. Then you can see the lost silver. Here's my point. The lost silver was lost in the house. And this woman began to take a candlestick and a broom and search carefully. I like that word that the Lord is speaking, that as she search carefully until she find. There are people lost in your home. There are people lost in Christian homes. Grandchildren maybe, siblings, maybe children. Oh, they need to hear the gospel. With the candles, the word of God, with the prayer, carefully live in such a manner in which that given that the Lord may bring that individual. Are we you in war in seeking that soul? This woman was faithful. She knew, I know that this coin lost in the house. I'm going to search that very carefully. There are how many grandchildren of Christians, how many children of Christians, how many siblings of yours, how many good friends of yours around you lost? Jesus Christ died for them also. The one who saved you, the one who just made you a new creation, the one who changed your life, the one who brought so close to the Savior in the inseparable relationship, and he has given a ministry of reconciliation. Are you involved in that? Are you? When the last time you took a step and prayed for a soul, or continually, when I got saved, I remember my parents just kicked me off from the family. I could not get into my home around 8 years because they thought I've just completely ruined their reputations and family name and things. But one thing I could do, pleading and praying and begging God to save. God is a faithful God, lover of souls. 16 years later, both my father and mother come to know Christ. God is in the business of saving soul. Don't give it up. I often think about if American doctor could pray for my soul 18 months, I can pray for my parents 18 years. And God is interesting of the souls. What happened? Then the third one, you can see that the lost son. The son was raised in the godly family. But the world became so much a prayer priority for him. He took the portion and walked and ruined his life, lived in a riotous life, finished everything, and he did not have enough food. Look at that he was just sharing the food of the pigs with him. Then the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. He said, there are so many servants in my father's home lives much better than me. I will rise up and go to my father. I will tell him, I sinned against you and heaven. That's something. It's my point. Says that whenever he thought about his father, he thought about heaven. His father always thought about that to him. There may be some people in your family, in your church maybe, in your fellowship, once they were fervent in living and serving the Lord. But as the years passed, maybe something happened in their life that began to just slip away, just gone far away from now, maybe living in a miserable life. Are you concerned about the lost ones, that those who went into backslidden? Are you reaching out for them? Where the word of God continued to work in their life, maybe they may come back. The father was anticipating. The boy came. There are so many, even for our families, once they were walking with God, but just walked away. Are you praying and just pleading, maybe working such a manner in which bringing forth? Finally and fourthly, the word of God says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling, verse 19, the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. bypassing that, the third thing, so I'm telling that he has given a ministry. Along with the ministry, he also given a message. The word here says, he committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Sometimes we try to just make a lot of effort to bring some people to the Lord. Let me tell you, only the word of God changes people. Even I can tell my testimonies, it will raise your hair, but it's not going to produce faith in you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You and I need to give the word of God. There is no possible way that any other people of this world can get saved without the word of God. We need to preach the word of God. And God has given the word to you. Sometimes we try to prove people in such a manner, just putting our intellectualism somehow to just make them so forcefully to just convict them. Let me tell you, friends, simple gospel saves people. As always I go through the book of Acts, you can see there are 20 sermons. You can see that if you carefully study that, in each sermon, they are preaching Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and people saved. Even Jews got saved, Gentiles got saved, and even the Asians got saved, Europeans got saved. Everyone can get saved. The word of God brings conviction and it brings faith to people, and there is a salvation. Then what happened fourthly and finally is there is a new appeal. Verse 20, the word of God says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be a reconciled to God. That's an inner pleading of the Holy Spirit through a believer. The language, look at the, as though God did beseech by us. God did beseech by us, beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ stead, be a reconciled to God. That must be the agony and cry from the bottom of every heart of a believer to reach out to others. People need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, they are lost. No matter how they accomplish things in this world, maybe they might have gained this world, but only one possible way people can go to heaven, that is only through the perfect reconciler. His name is Jesus Christ. And the word of God, the Holy Spirit, just enable you to just make you to appeal to the world. Jesus Christ, be a reconciled to God. This is the cry of the pulpit today. As you go from this place, will you take this gospel which saved you? Just plead and pray. Maybe someone in the family, someone outside, someone who is backslidden gone, will you have a passion for that soul today? Will you spend some time in prayer on a daily basis? Lord, burden me. Burden me. I remember one of the stories which touched my heart years back. And that was a young preacher from Dundee, Scotland, Murray McShane. And he just served maybe 3 or 4 years. Dundee was given, especially in Scotland, completely just to drink and booze that area. One of the ministers, he was trying to do all the efforts, and there a meager result in his life. One day he just got this small book in his biography of Murray McShane. He had a great desire to go and visit that area. When I was studying, that helped me. I always want to visit over there. So this man, eventually this young minister came to Dundee. And as he was looking around the church and there are things, there was an elderly person was coming out from the church. This young minister came to him. Said, I'm a minister, I'm trying, and this is the the biography of Barry McShane just helped me. Can you remember something of him? He said, yes, I was the sexton of this church when my pastor was pastoring over here. Will you tell about him? He said, just why don't you come in? So they invited him inside. And he came beside the pulpit. There was in a small vestry. He said, that was my pastor. Sit over there. Why don't you come in? Said he. He went there. There was a chair and table, couple of chairs there. He said, that is my pastor, McShane. Sit there. You want to sit in that chair? So he invited this man. Just brought him and he sat over there. And he said, put on your elbow on the table. He put the elbow on the table and put your face on your hand. He put, then he said, let the tears flow. Whenever I come, that's what I see, my pastor sitting and flowing the tears, praying and pleading for Dundee. Oh, God, in his mighty mercy, send a revival. It was not the fake ones. Bar being closed, people being saved. The revival, yesterday, pastor was talking about that the revival always just comes and the source being born. People been coming to know Christ. There's a great revival broke out and that swept all the mainland of UK, reaching out many. Friends, people need to be saved. They have a soul. My Lord did a great work on the cross of Calvary and he is the only Savior. And you and I know the truth. Let the tears flow. Maybe this mission conference grip your hearts. Continually bring a flame of revival, not only in your own life, but so many other people might be able to come to know Christ. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you for that message. You know, a lot of times when you read the Great Commission in Matthew 28, a lot of times people will say or think, well, that was the apostles, that was the disciples. But we see very clearly here, once we become a new creation, God gives us, all believers, the ministry of reconciliation. It's not an option. It's given, it's committed, it's entrusted to us. And we're to obey the Lord. It's not for me. No, we are given that ministry. God Almighty has committed it to us. And we're to be stewards of sharing the gospel with those around us. As the pianist begins to play, I'm going to ask heads bowed, eyes closed for just a second. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Did God speak to you tonight? I haven't looked to see who's all here. Perhaps some watching from home live stream. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Perhaps you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ. Perhaps you thought you did, but the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you tonight and you realize that you're lost. Would you come, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you slip out right now and come way to the front? We'll have someone here to meet you, not embarrass you, take you to a side room, pray with you, answer any questions, show you from the Bible how you can know for sure Jesus Christ is your Savior and your sins are forgiven. Would you be willing to do that? Perhaps you've been in this church for years and you battle it, but you've never told anybody, but you're never quite sure if you're saved. Would you be willing to get that settled tonight by trusting the Word of God? Jesus Christ died for you, came to seek and to save the lost. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How about you, believer, Christian? You're saved, you know you're saved, praise God. You have a good testimony, you can share when Christ saved you, but let me ask you, have you been sharing the gospel with anyone? Perhaps God's laid on your heart a particular person. Would you come? You can kneel there by the pew. Maybe you want to slip to the front to the altar tonight. Pray. Lift up that name. Maybe it is a sibling. Maybe it is a child, a grandchild. Maybe it is a spouse. Maybe God has burdened your heart. And you say, oh God, I want to just come right now. Lift up the name of that person that God's laid on my heart, a dear friend, a co-worker, an aged aunt or uncle, and you say, oh, God's put that in my heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not responding in emotion, but if God moves and you say, oh, I'm going to lift up that name tonight, oh, God. Maybe they live in a different part of the country, and you say, God, send someone to them, a preacher, a saved neighbor. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe God says you're the one. I've given to you, you, the ministry of reconciliation. I've given it to you. Maybe you say, I can't do it. You say, yes, you can. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. God will help you. Maybe you're here tonight and God's been pricking your heart, and maybe it's in the area of surrender. Maybe God's been calling you to the mission field, calling you to be a preacher, man, calling you to go into ministry. Maybe you've been fighting against that. Would you be willing to come tonight and surrender that to the Lord? Oh, God. God, I'm available. God, I'm willing. I feel the Lord's calling me. I want to answer that call tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let the Holy Spirit work. So when you leave the building tonight, there's nothing between you and the Savior. Nothing between you and the Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One more stanza and then we'll dismiss. One more stanza. We'll let the Holy Spirit work. The last time you wept over a lost soul, when you, last time your heart was broken, it's the last time you gave up food because you had a deeper purpose of seeing that person come to know Christ. When's the last time you trusted the Lord by faith instead of your own feelings and opened your mouth or went to the door, knocked on a neighbor and said, oh God, you got to help me. I can't do it. And you shared your testimony. You invited them to church. You took that first step. Oh, may we not be content just to come to missions conference. May we not be content just to hear what God's doing in India. God's doing in South Africa and Brazil, but what about right here in Duryea, right here in Northeast Pennsylvania? Oh, may we as a church carry on that ministry of reconciliation. Father, I thank you for the word of God that was preached tonight by Brother G.S. Nair. Lord, I thank you for his faithfulness, his wife and family there in India. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness as we heard of that small church many years ago who began to support that doctor who came to India and then, Lord, shared the gospel of G.S. Nair. And Lord, there may be some here today that maybe, Lord, you want them exactly where you have them. Lord, they're not called to the mission field. They're not called to go leave their home, but Lord, you desire them to have the ministry of reconciliation right here in their town, right here in their community, right here in their family. Lord, maybe they've been faithful in sharing the gospel and they get discouraged because it doesn't appear as if anyone's responded. Lord, I pray we'd be faithful with that ministry, Lord. We know that you're the only one that can save a soul. But Lord, you've given us that ministry of sharing the good news, of praying and being burdened and loving and showing compassion and mercy as you have showed us. Lord, I pray that each one here tonight, boy, what a blessing if we made a commitment. Oh, God, give us a soul before the end of the year. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, use me in the life of someone before the end of the month. Lord, we're trusting you. There's lost people all around. Lord, I pray we wouldn't just have our ears tickled and go home tonight and go right back to the TV, right back to our ways. And Lord, I pray we'd have a burden for the lost. May we go home tonight, we pass a home, and you prick our hearts about that person that we know and stopping by, talking with them intentionally about the gospel. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you saved us. I pray each one here tonight knows that, each one watching from home. Lord, I pray that we would not just sing a passion for souls. Lord, we would have a true passion for souls. Lord, because of you have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your great love and mercy. Lord, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, it's of your mercy and compassion, Lord, that gives folks one more day, one more week to come to Jesus Christ before it's too late. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to have this missions conference. Thank you for each of our missionaries. Thank you, Lord, that each of us are missionaries. May we do what you've committed to us, Lord, I pray, with a joyful spirit. Lord, dismiss us now tonight in your love. Give safety to those that have a little longer of a drive. Protect them. Keep them safe. May they have a great time as they head home, Lord, rejoicing what they heard tonight and praying for lost souls. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.